Above that name, that's above every name.
Amen.
Get your Bibles, if you would turn with me, please, to the book of 2 Kings, chapter 7. It's good to have everybody in the house of God today. What a privilege to be able to gather together in one mind and one accord. Because where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty.
Amen.
2 Kings chapter 7, reading verse number 3 and verse number 4. 2 Kings 7, verse 3. And there were four leprous men at the entering of the gate, and they said one to another, "Why sit we here until we die? If we say we'll enter into the city, then famine is in the city, and we shall die there. And if we sit still here, we die also. Now therefore come, and let us fall into the host of the Syrians. If they save us alive, well, we shall live. And if they kill us, we shall die." Turn to the book of Acts, chapter 3. The book of Acts, chapter 3. This time reading verse number 2 to verse number 5. Book of Acts 3, verse 2. "And a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, 'Look on us.' And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them." Jesus, we love you. We praise you today. Thank you, God, for the good spirit that's in this house. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity of gathering together in one mind and one accord. God, touch every heart and every life. Pour out your spirit upon all flesh today. We quickly give you all the praise and all the glory. In Jesus' name, we're going to say amen. God bless you. May be seated. This afternoon, I want to preach to you a message titled, "Look Ahead."
Amen.
Look ahead.
Amen.
When considering the many situations as well as the many circumstances of life, that being yours or mine, it's no doubt it could be said how that as a people, it is we or you, if you are not careful, we are they who can end up allowing ourselves to become caught up in the vortex of any one of life's or your life's storms. By becoming transfixed in your current circumstances, meaning instead of you being able to see your way out of wherever it is that you are, more often than not, I feel safe in saying that in view of the majority and not the minority, people just like you and I stay right where we are. We hunker down and we don't look for a way out. It's we who become caught up in that of our wallowing in the mire of despair by not being able to see the forest for the trees. People say, "Well, look at me, look at my life, it's a mess, and my condition and circumstances are they that offer no reprieve nor rest. No, I'm just stuck in a world that for me, it is all but from all appearance, is where it shows my life as being out of control. Here I do, I spin, I'm in that whirlpool, I'm being sucked down into life, and I don't see any way out." And the point that I want to bring to you this afternoon lies in the fact, while it is we who believe that we truly have no hope of escape, nor a battle plan where we or you will be able to rise above your pit of despair. One wherein, if the truth were told, many are found, ladies and gentlemen, aimlessly drifting upon the shores of defeat. Instead of they or your refusing to accept your life circumstance or your life situation, or refusing to concede to defeat. At least without your first putting up a fight, as it's you who does whatever it is that you need to do in order for you to be able to look beyond your circumstance and to be in a desire to see just what it is that lies ahead of you. There's got to be a battle plan. There's got to be something that I can do. I can't just sit here. I can't just wallow in my despair and think there's just no way out. You know, whether it's a financial need, maybe a physical impairment, there's something spiritual in your life going on. The devil's beating you up, and you're feeling like you're just being strapped from every side, that you're in a ship that's being tossed to and fro. There's got to be in your life, there's got to come in your life a place where you say, there's got to be a battle plan of escape. Now, in concerns to our history books, Christopher Columbus was one such man whose inner vision caused him to be the one to step out of his life current comfort zone in order for he or whomever would follow him in his dream to want to discover what would be to them a new world. It was against the better judgment of those in authority that Christopher Columbus has decided to set sail in a westerly direction. No, you need to go east. No, he goes, I want to go west. Believing that he was heading to what would become, for him, known as the Americas. He believed by going west, he discovered new lands and new opportunities for the people. And as the skeptics and the mockers railed upon him, Christopher Columbus, in spite of what they believed or not, in the year 1492, he set sail for a land that was yet to be discovered, believing in his mind and heart that the journey that he and his men had embarked upon would take them to a new world and to a land never yet explored. The excitement rallied on that ship as they pushed away from land, and all the people got behind him and they thought, this is a great idea. We're going to go to the Americas. Things are going to be great. We're going to be the discoverers of a new world, but not for long. Now, right about now, some of you that might be wondering, well, just what does this story or the account of Christopher Columbus, pardon me, have to do with me? Well, as far as history, the history of Christopher Columbus, well, maybe nothing. But in view of what it was that he, Christopher Columbus, did, in the view of this message thought to you this afternoon, likely it has everything to do with those whose life circumstance are they that hold them or hold you captive in the fact that you fail to look ahead. To look beyond the place where it is that you are with a desire of overcoming or even conquering your situation and moving on to victory. If you're the one that's sitting there in your trial, your test of life, that you're the one that may be in a financial straits or you're just having struggles in life, and there you sit and the devil beats up on you and your mind's all filled with doubt and skepticism and you have no idea what tomorrow's even going to hold, well, this message is for you. See, what I'm saying today is, in spite of his obstacles as well as his opposition that ended up being both off and on the ship, in spite of Christopher Columbus being threatened with mutiny and even pending death, we're going to throw you overboard, we'll kill you, you're going to kill us. It was Christopher Columbus who refused to give in to and or to submit his mind nor heart to the fact that what he was wanting to do and the journey to this new land would never be able to literally come into his sights. We're going to see it. We're going to realize this. We are going to land one day. You know, it doesn't look good right now. And maybe we've gone through a couple of storms and we haven't seen land. And you guys are doubting the fact that we did the right thing. Just like people, I've heard people say, I'm never going to get out of my life circumstance. I'm forever to wander in the valley of despair and defeat. I mean, there's no way out. I cannot recover. And you know what? I can't make it. I don't know what I'm going to do. And right there, you got to stop. Anybody with that mind or that mindset upon that kind of a track in life, it's either declares to you in whatever position or circumstance that your life might find you in. It is, and it must be you who refuses to just sit there wallowing in the what ifs. And it's you who instead needs someone right in the midst of your trial or your testing of life or right in one of the greatest of your valleys of despair who needs to just stop and to begin to look ahead at what it was and maybe what it could be in your life, what it is that you can do. And here it comes. Here's the big hitch. If you want to, that is.
Yeah.
Amen.
What you can do if you want to be the one who just down the road, the path of your life, that you on that life trail can declare your victory. I know I've shared probably in a few accounts about when I lost a job in the city of Kelowna before I got into the insurance world. I thought life was over. I thought I'm going to lose my house and lose our vehicle, and I didn't know how we're going to make any kind of money. The kid's going to go starving and hungry, and everything was bad, and people around me were telling me, oh, you need to get education. You need to just get better off in your life. This is an opportunity. I didn't see the opportunity. I saw the fact that I was without a job, going nowhere. But you know what? When I stopped finally and I looked into the idea of upgrading my education and getting a better education and going through that, the next thing you know, opportunity knocked on my door, and then I got an offer as an opportunity to work in an insurance agency for the first time in my life. Things began to look better on the horizon than they did right where I was sitting. On the ship, it was the man who said, Christopher, we're all going to die out here in this ocean. Your false dream and your false hope of a new land is exactly that. It's a false dream. And yet it was Christopher Columbus who, in spite of all of this, wrote in his journal that this day we sailed west, which was our course. And maybe if some of the men on the deck began to argue with him one day and they started, getting bitter words between one another, suddenly the guy in the crow's nest, he goes, wait, ho, ho! And they're going, what's that? What's going on? He goes, look ahead, land, ho!
Amen.
Everything changed, not when they were looking at their situation in that ship, but when they looked ahead and they all stopped their fussing, maybe in arguing on that day, and they looked up what side of the ship. And sure enough, there was a land of hope, a land ahead. They were going to get there. They were going to finally make it there. They were going to kill him, throw him overboard, turn back, say it was a failure and a false dream. But no, Christopher Columbus hung on and kept moving forward. In the book of Isaiah, if you would turn there, Isaiah chapter 59. Isaiah chapter 59 and verse 19. Isaiah writes this, so shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west and his glory from the rising of the sun. See, when the enemy, ladies and gentlemen, your enemy shall come in like a flood. Isaiah writes, not if he comes in like a flood, but when he comes in like a flood, it's then that the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. I want you to listen to me this afternoon. It is your adversary who brings down upon your life or our lives situations and circumstances that to us are they which many a time leave us all but floundering around, unable to see beyond where it is that we are. When in effect, standing at the ready and just waiting for the cry of your heart is none other than God. When his time and by his will is able to take you from the pit, shall I say, wherein you lie onto your victory. My friend, that for you might just lie just ahead of you. It just might be a couple of steps beyond where you are. You got to look ahead. You got to look up in Christ and say, God, I need your help in this trial. I need your help in this financial situation. Our family's in trouble. My life's in trouble. I need to be able to move on. And instead of going, I don't know what to do, God, you need to look up, maybe open up your door and smell the beautiful fresh air and behold the sunshine and the pretty green and the nice flowers in the garden saying, I'm looking ahead. We're not going to stay where we are.
Right.
But again, time and time again, that's why I said it was the majority and not the minority. Oh, but you don't understand. You don't understand what it is I'm going through. No, true enough, you might not. But the one thing I do know is just as it's stated in the book of Matthew chapter 19. Matthew chapter 19 and verse 26. This is one thing I do know. How that with men it is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Impossible to you, totally possible with God. Impossible in their eyesight, sure, but it's not impossible with God. It was God who took the time to have these words written for us, not only in Matthew 19:26, but also in the book of Mark 9:23 and Mark 10:27. What did God do that for? Meaning that too many times as we as a people of God, and in fact really people in general, who are found stuck or overcome in the realm of their life circumstance, when and only if it were they or even you who instead refused to settle in on and to settle down in your life situation as it had been dealt to you, and you instead now with a dead dog determination were the one to get up and to begin in your life to look ahead of you, to begin to seek God, to begin to turn your thoughts away from your defeat and your desire to look forward to the day that God is going to give you victory. I see people in church, I'll never get the Holy Ghost. God will never heal me. I'll never be able to live like you can. And I don't know what's going to happen in my life. And yet, you know what they do? They finally get down to brass tacks and they get serious with God. And they start praying and seeking God. They start opening up their heart to Him and begin listening to His cry. And as God begins to come down in His spirit and touch them. And in a Sunday afternoon service, maybe a Wednesday night, there they are at the altar. Their hands are raised. They're speaking in an unknown tongue. They say, Pastor, get that baptismal tank open. My life's ready for change. I'm ready to be transformed and renewed. Declaring I might be down, but I'm not out.
Amen.
I might have the odds in this present time stacked against me, but if God be for me, then who could come against me?
Amen.
I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, sometimes we need to get that thought in our mind. If God be for us, who can be against us?
Amen.
God loves you. God has a purpose for your life. God has a desire for you to succeed, not for you to flounder and die. God wants you to come out of that valley and that pit, and rise to your mountain and say, look what the Lord has done. Consider, if you will, the circumstance of lame man in the book of Acts chapter 3. There's a man that the Bible says was lame from his mother's womb. A man who was laid daily at the temple gate in order for him to beg for his daily food and his life's provision. Mm-hmm. Now, before I move on with this account, currently I'm not aware of any of us whose lot in life stands to be like unto this man. However, I am, and over the years have been aware of those who in their own life circumstance have for years had to face or to endure to them and for you that might be a crippling life circumstance. One may be that you felt, or they felt, they believed that you, my friend, would never be able to escape from. Captive in a world of sin and addiction, a prisoner to that of the wants and the ways of your lustful flesh, helplessly, if you will, drifting upon a sea of life with no hope nor thought of the chance that you would ever become free. That is, and that was, shall I say, until the day that Jesus Christ stepped into that of your world and your life. And it was Jesus who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light.
Amen.
You go back to work maybe on that next day, Monday, and God filled you with the Holy Ghost. And there's that shine on your face, and there's a smile upon your face. And they go, you look different, and you seem to be different. Oh, I am. I had a meeting with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Well, who's that? Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory.
Amen.
And over time, it's your friends and it's your family who begin to look at you, and there's something different about you. I'll tell you what, different. Jesus stepped into your life. That Holy Ghost came inside of your soul and gave you a hope and a promise beyond where you were, because you now can look ahead to where you want to be, and you say, God's got promises for me. God's got opportunities for me. He's got a miracle that's going to continue to happen in my life. I'm going to tell others what it is that He had done for me.
Yes. Jesus.
And I'm talking to you about lives that were before on a collision course with destruction and death, and really ultimately in eternity in that place called hell. But because of the visitation of the Spirit of God in your life, it was He, God, who caused you to begin to be the one to look ahead. Not back to who and what it was that you were, but looking ahead to all that He, Jesus Christ, through His power, by His indwelling of His Spirit, that He could and He will help you to do and to be You start looking forward. Oh, I used to be a drunk, and I used to cuss like a sailor, and you know what? I used to be so dysfunctional, it was even funny. But there you are in your right mind, in your right heart, and you're moving forward.
Right.
Oh, yes.
Pardon me. There you are. There you go. On to your successes. From one step to another. From one promise to another. One step deeper and higher in God. And you're going, I didn't even believe this kind of a life was even possible.
Oh, yes.
But God said, I'm going to make it possible.
Amen.
From being the one to bear the life as a misfit of society, it was God Almighty who picked you up out of that miry clay. And in turn, he placed your feet upon that rock called Christ to stay. We share our testimony sometime. We sit across from others and they think, oh man, you look pearly white. You look so nice and pretty in your dress and nice suit. And oh, you got a nice home and everything's going good for you. Mm-hmm. But we begin to share. You know, if you were to know who I was and where it was I had come from before my life circumstance was turned around by God.
Come on.
Well, many of you would shake your heads in disbelief. And at the same time, if you would have, or I for that matter, you would have not allowed that Spirit of God. If you would not allow God to touch you, to lead you, to guide you from where you were to where it is that you are today. Then I'm afraid that history for you, my friend, would have bore a completely and likely a destructive end. Wow, you did that?
Mm-hmm. Come on.
You were like that? My wife and I were up visiting this lady a couple of weeks back, and we sat there and oh, you look so nice. And we're sitting at her property. We're sitting around just talking on her back deck. And we started just telling her, sharing where we had come from and who we used to be. She, you'd never know that. Mm-hmm. Wow, I'd have never. No, no, really? You?
Come on.
I couldn't. No way.
Come on.
Wow, I can't believe it. Well, look what the Lord has done.
Amen.
Look how God took your misfit society life and turned around and made you something brand new.
Amen.
So on that particular day, back to the lame man. The lame man was brought to and laid at the gate beautiful, perceiving if it were just be another ordinary and non-eventful day. The Bible says, as it was, Peter and John now who approached, as he had done time and time again, he began to ask an alms. Began to beg. But today, something was different. On that day, possibly in his heart, it was he who felt like something was about to change.
Amen.
For as the words left Peter's mouth, look on us!
Yes.
The Bible says in Acts chapter 3, verse 5, that the lame man, here it is, he gave heed to them, expecting to receive something from them.
Right.
Look on us. You come to church and you say, you know what, it's just another service, another opportunity for me to pray, sing a few songs and worship a bit and hear the preach word and go home. No, but today, you know, you can't. Something's going to be different today.
Right.
Today is going to be a change in your life.
Yeah.
Today, God's going to honor your sacrifice. He's looking down from heaven. He says, I'm well pleased with you, what you've done, your faithfulness to me, and what you've shown me today. I'm going to bless you. I'm going to pour my Spirit out on you. I'm going to turn your life around like you never known it would ever be. But the ability to have it done before. Now, I submit to you this day that if it had just been maybe a few coins that they were going to throw in, or maybe some words of rebuke or exhortation, Peter would have not gone on further to declare, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk.
Amen.
Listen to me. If the lame man had refused to be the one, in my words, to look ahead, to expect, to anticipate in his heart that which was beyond a matter of a few coins or maybe a few words, then it was as Peter who in Acts chapter 3 and verse 7 who took him by the right hand and lifted him up. Now listen to this. Refusing to be the one to accept a miracle or change in his life's fate, I believe that the lame man likely would have pulled his hand away from Peter, rebuking him because of his insensitivity to the fact that, hey, I can't walk. But again, the Bible says immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength, and he, leaping up, stood and walked. That lame man stepped out of his current life circumstance in order for him to be propelled into the realm where a miracle working of hand of God, ladies and gentlemen, from that day forward changed his life forever. Yes. And he was now walking and leaping and praising God. Yes. Could you imagine here in your life, you know, oh, you know, I didn't really come expecting a whole lot, but wow, you know, God really began to talk to me, and I just been feeling God pulling on me like strings and make me want to go closer to him and get a deeper walk with him. And suddenly, sure enough, on a particular day, I kneel down, maybe I'm even at home, and God moves into my circumstance, and God moves into the realm of my life, and that Spirit of God overtakes my soul, and something changes. And so the next time we see you, you got a big smile on your face, and you're ready to raise your hands. I don't have to beg you or ask you to lift them up. No, out they go, and you sing the song to Zion. What happened to you? I got Jesus on the inside, and now he's working on the outside. Oh, what a change in my life. See, what it is I'm declaring to all of you this day is the fact that your present day's circumstance is not necessarily your future hope.
Right.
In other words, you don't have to stay where you are. You don't have to accept your life situation as your conclusion to the matter of an end. Instead, I submit to you again today that it is you, whoever you are this day, and wherever it is you are in your life, may be found that starting today is you who right now needs to be the one to determine to be the one to look ahead. Look where you're going. Look where you are, but then look where you're going. The closer you get to God, the more you feel him. The more you submit your life to God, the stronger God comes into your conscience for your soul. And the more you love him, you learn to love him like you never loved him before. The more God becomes real to you, and the things of God come alive to you. The next time you open your Bible, it's like words pounding off the pages. And you're just excited about what you read and what you're reading. The book of Luke, chapter 21. Luke 21, verse 28, after expounding to his disciples, Jesus talking to them about the coming of the end time, it was Jesus who in verse 28, who went on to declare to them, "And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, and I say, look ahead, for your redemption draws nigh." That's me.
Yes.
How about the book of John, chapter 4, just a book over, chapter 4. In verse 35, it's Jesus who declares to his disciples again, "Say ye not, there are 4 months, and then cometh the harvest. I'm going to talk to you. Don't just sit there and bemoan your circumstance. Oh, maybe one day, maybe, well, someday life for me will change. Blah to that. Forget that. Look ahead, you friend. Get out of that pit. You don't have to stay there. Get up. Go out for a walk. And behold the beauty of God." See, behold, Jesus said, "I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look upon the fields, for they're white already to harvest." I want you to listen to me, friend. I want you to look ahead beyond where you are, where you might be. And I want you to turn to attend your prayers upon God and declare to God, "I don't have to accept where I am right now. I don't have to accept. I am not a loser. I am not a failure. I am not a has-been. I'm a child of God. Jesus Christ died for me while I was yet a sinner. I'm going forward, friend, and you need to walk with me as I do." I don't have to wait for the day, if it ever comes, when I'll be able to rise from the place where I am to where I want to be. I don't have to wait. You know how I change things? I get up. I start walking. That's what I do. Whether mentally or physically, I don't have to stay there. You see, it's God who in his word who calls out to me in my life circumstance, saying, Jeremiah 29:11. Oh, familiar scripture, Jeremiah 29:11. God calls you in your circumstances, for I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. So look ahead. And be ready to do whatever it is you need to do in your desire to get out of that rut or your pit that you're in, to rise from the current state or status of life that you're in right now. And are founded by starting to put one foot in front of the other, declaring, as I've already said, if God be for me, then who can be against me? Get out of my way. I'm going somewhere. I'm moving ahead in my circumstance of life. Oh, but you look like such a mess. That's where I was, but that's not where I want to be. Let's round the corner. Let's head for a close in the book of 2 Kings, chapter 7. What it is that we find here is there's a sore famine in the land, and Elisha had come and he had declared how that on the morrow a measure of fine flour will be sold for a shekel and two measures of barley for a shekel in the gate of Samaria. In the book of 2 Kings chapter 7, 3 and 4, as we read today, the Bible speaks of four leprous men entering at the gate who said one to another, "Why sit here until we die? This day outside of there coming a miracle from God, if you were a leper then, all you had to look forward to was the time of your demise. You had no real hope, shall I say, or any real tomorrow. No hope beyond your current state or circumstance. So really, why not just linger in the valley of death until finally your number gets called? Just hang around. You're a leper. You're going to die. How about you?" Well, I guess, you know, I'm here. You know where I'm at. I guess this is what's going to happen in my life. I just might sit here and admit my defeat. And after all of what it is, what can I do? I'm a mess. I don't have a lot of friends. I don't really have a good job, and things aren't really going my way. I guess, accept it. You don't sit there. But I want you to know, like everybody else, in talking about our story in 2 Kings 7. In that time, it would be the four lepers who, no doubt, while they were lepers, they too would have been going hungry like everybody else. Mm-hmm. The lack of food was affecting everybody, leper or not. You're all starving. You're all going hungry. But you know what? As we read today, according to the book of 2 Kings chapter 7, these four lepers decided within themselves that we're not going to just accept the fact that we're both starving and dying of our leprosy. And so within that of themselves, they're not going to sit back and wait for the coming of their final demise. Why sit here till we die? Come on, friends, say to God, really, let's think about this city. I want you to get it, because I see it in the eyes of so many people, even people in the church world, you know, pandemic or not. A failing economy and current life circumstance or not, I declare to you this day the same words. Why should we sit here until we die? Why should we sit back and wait for the dollar to fail and for the economy to finally crash? Why is it that we as a church, as a people of God, should just accept, due to our life circumstance, you know, that all we're ever going to attain is our four no more? Pandemic, restrictions, or not? Failing economy or not, life as we know it, maybe not being normal or not, your own personal life or current situation of your life or not, there rests no reason for any of us to be the one to become those who sit down, who sit back, and who just wait until we finally hit the bottom before it is we who rise to the challenge, ladies and gentlemen, and move forward to be the ones that are looking ahead to all that God has for us. Beyond where it is we are today. Right. You know what? I'm going to look for a church that's full. I'm going to look for a church that's full of people that love God. Yes. I'm going to look for God to turn my sacrifice and my situation of life around. Yes. I'm going to tell you, I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. I'm looking for the time that God blesses us beyond. I'm looking for the time that God breaks us out. And things, people come rushing to the church because they know they've got nowhere else to go. This world is out of control and it's heading for its demise. But you know where we're heading? We're heading up to glory one day. We're going to walk on the streets of gold. We're going to be with God for all eternity.
Amen.
So here the lepers are in verse number 4 of 2 Kings 7. If we say, we'll enter into the city, then famine's in the city and we shall die there. And if we sit still here, we die also. Now therefore come and let us fall into the host of the Syrians, and if they save us alive, well, we shall live. And if they kill us, we shall but die.
Yep.
What does the writer of the book of Ecclesiastes, right after Proverbs, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes chapter 9 and verse 10, what does the writer of the book of Ecclesiastes chapter 9 and 10 declare? Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might, for there's no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave whither thou goest. See, there remains victories for you ahead of you in your future, beyond your own current circumstances. Well, Pastor, I'm not in any trouble right now. One day's going to come, honey, and you're going to sit there, or you're going to wallow. You say, wait, I remember that message he preached. I don't have to stay here. I'm looking ahead. I am moving forward. See, there remain before us souls to be won, a gospel message to declare, a promise of an expected end, an eternity to linger upon, and not where we are and what we're going through. See, what I'm saying to you is this: you're not, and you've not reached the end of your road. Nobody's at the end of their road. For it's God whom I believe is preparing for we as church, a people of God, a great victory as well as an end time revival. If we would stop accepting and allowing to be the ones to settle in where we are. Look at us. We're not even full today. Yeah? Why don't you look ahead? I heard the man say it this morning. In your ability, go out and reach souls. Win a soul. Could you imagine everybody in this house? You've heard this message way, way back. If everybody in this house would win one soul, we'd double. And if they would win one soul, don't go out and reach the whole city. Win one soul. And if they won one soul, we'd triple. And if they won one soul, we'd quadruple. And we can keep going. All I had to do is reach one. Do what God's called us to do, to put our hand in the plow and not to look back. He tells us to look ahead. You see, not allowing yourself to settle in where we are. And I want to tell you, ceasing allowing a spirit of fear, ladies and gentlemen, to rule our hearts and minds. Did you catch that? That spirit of fear grips you. Oh, the church doors open back up again. Oh. Can I lift up my hands? Can I worship God out loud? Can I stand on my feet if I feel God moving in my heart? Well, look ahead. Sure you can. That's what God's waiting for, you see? And to begin to be the ones to look ahead and who continue to look up and ahead of that, we at church know that we understand the fact, guess what? Our redemption is going to draw nigh. Amen. Jesus Christ is going to be coming back. And finally today, ladies and gentlemen, once it was the four lepers, when they made a move, catch that, please.
Come on.
That the Spirit of God went on before them, right into the enemy's territory, right to the camp. It was God who drove out their enemies. It was God who brought victory, not just for the four lepers, but for the people of Samaria. And that prophecy that was made by Elisha, it came to pass. It was Elisha who was looking ahead. It was the four lepers whom God used to bring forth victory for the people that day. If it would only be you who would catch the spirit of this message thought today, if only you would be the one, as I have been saying, to start looking ahead in your life, the place that God surely would have us for you to be. Our victory and not our defeat, my friends, is what lies ahead of us. It's just ahead. Look, it's right up there. Can't you see it? Where there's no vision, people perish. Just look ahead. Look where you are and say, wow, I'm doing so much. But just look ahead because there are more. There's more ahead of us. Guess what? You know what I see? When I look ahead, you know what I see? I took a look at the back of the book and the Bible says that we win. That's what I see.
Amen.
It doesn't say you're out, it's all over with and you're done. No, I see, and I also know that life and breath are in the hands of God. And it is God who, in his good pleasure, will give us the kingdom.
Amen.
Amen. I want you to listen to this, friends and saints of God. I don't know about you, but as for me and my house, we're going to be found being the ones looking ahead, looking forward to all it is that God is going to do in his good pleasure. He's preparing an army. He's preparing a people that are not stuck in a rut. They're not all worried about what's going on, but saying, look, you know, I'm waiting for God. I'm looking forward to what God's going to do. God's going to lift me up. God's going to take us up. God's going to move us on from where we are. Would you stand with me together today?
Amen.
I refuse to just sit back and allow all of what God has for us to be what passes us by. Oh, maybe another church, another people, forget it. Not another church, another people. It's this people who are called by his name. If we would just humble ourselves and pray, seek his face, turn from our wicked ways, God will then take a hold of it. See, we might not be able to effectively see it right now. Sure enough, you know, it's not mind over matter, I'm telling you. We might not see it right now, but if God is one who with his angel who watches over us, it's going to be God who's going to help us to come out on top and to not be defeated. We'll hold our peace and the Lord will fight our battle. The Lord will bring you to victory. Why don't you just lift up your hands right now, lift up your voice and say, God, I got to start looking ahead. God, I'm going to start putting my feet.